304-304-5427 and at Burchard, spelled B-I-R-C-H-A-R-D, construction.com. So let's do a little forward promote here for David Rovix, who will be in Chico this coming week. Here we go. See if I can get this right.
I'm Robert Jones, one of the hosts of the Peace and Social Justice Show.
Sorry. All right, I'm going to go to a David Rovix song, and then I'll just tell you about his concert, because I can never quite negotiate that particular stopping and starting of things. Here we go.
2, 3, 4. First you have to have a problem. That part isn't hard. The second step is everybody realizing they're like you. They're holding the same card. Step three is finding there's a tactic when everyone believes it could be true. That if all the people work collectively, there just might be something we can do and everything can change. So quick. And businessmen and TV sets will try hard to make sure it isn't so. You don't have a problem. If you do, it's not the same problem. And if it is, well, there's just nowhere you can go. But that many times the history is rich, though we easily forget how a meme can take hold and grab you, how it can spread out like a net, and everything can change. So
okay, you're on the Peace and Justice program. We're here with you every Friday from 12 to 1, new time. And I'm happy to make that shift as it makes life a little easier. And we have this wonderful new show, Talk World Radio. And we're going to be talking to the host of that show in just a minute. But I want to forward promote the David Rovix. You were just listening to him. And he is an incredible singer-songwriter. Just can't say too many good things about him. He's very outspoken, speaks truth to power, and he's the host of This Week with David Rovix. He writes for Counterpunch. He tours. He's been all over everywhere, and still people don't know about him. He's going to be here in Chico on Wednesday, February 8th at the KZFR studios. You can pick up tickets at the KZFR office. That's 411 and on 341 Broadway, and at Eventbrite's. So please check that out. And I have on the line with me the host of Talk World Radio, who is somebody who gets a lot of work done. His name is David Swanson. He's an author, activist, journalist, and radio host. He's the director of World Beyond War, and this is a global nonviolent movement to end war and establish a just and sustainable peace. He's also the campaign coordinator for RootsAction.org. He's written numerous books on war and peace, including Leaving World War II Behind, which is an argument against the use of World War II as a reason for more wars, War is a Lie, which is a catalog of the types of falsehoods regularly told about wars, War is Never Just, a refutation of just war theory, and When the World Outlawed War, which is an account of the 1920s peace movement and the creation of the Kellogg-Briand Pact, as well as co-author of A Global Security System, an Alternate to War, which is a vision of a world of nonviolent institutions. He blogs at davidswanson.org and warisacrime.org. Now, he hosts this weekly radio show. He's been my guest before, but now he is also a host of Talk World Radio. The way that we decided to do this is to put Talk World Radio in at 11:30 here at KZFR, and then we could, you know, cut the show to an hour, which makes it at least easier on me, because doing this for you listeners is a lot of work, and it really is a lot easier if we can do an hour a week. And not that the things don't need to be discussed, and that's why David Swanson is so important, because his show speaks volumes about what needs to be done. And I think that first show with Nicole Petro is pretty amazing. Welcome to the Peace and Justice Show, David Swanson. I appreciate your show and you and your and World Beyond War and everything you're doing. Hello.
Hi, Chris. Thanks for having me on.
Sure. And I, hello. you know, this is a, I first want to talk about Talk World Radio because it seems like a a natural extension for all the connections you have in the world of trying to build a peace movement in this country. And you're going to be talking about a wide range of topics, and of course your focus is on peace, justice, and political action. Can you tell us a little bit about what you've covered in the past and what we have to look forward to in the future on Talk World Radio?
I can a little bit, yeah. If you go to talkworldradio.org, you can watch every show I've done, one a week, back at least to 2012. I'm not sure if I was doing it before then, and that's where my website cuts off or not, but it was a show called Talk Nation Radio, hosted by a woman named Dori Smith in Connecticut, and she had me on as a guest a number of times. She had me on as a substitute host a number of times, and then she asked me if I would take it over, and it was already on quite a few radio stations, and now it's on even more, and I said, yes, of course, I'll be glad to, and I've been making a half-hour show every week for years and years now, and now I make them as video as well, and I put them on every podcast outlet, but it's syndicated by Pacifica, and it's on lots of radio stations, and I do, because I have jobs where I work on peace and other activist campaigns, I have on a lot of guests related to those topics, but I have on anybody at all who's written an interesting book, who's done something interesting in the way of trying to make the world a better place. And I used to have on like three guests in a half hour, and I decided I'd rather have one because, you know, you get into a topic and you want to know more and you don't want to cut it off and say, go find out somewhere else. So I tend to just have on one guest and talk in a little bit of depth about something they've written or a film they've made or a campaign they're working on, and try to give people a substantive amount of information in the minutes we have there.
Yeah, and it's I know from doing this myself that you get a rich brocade of what, you know, what people are doing and how much goodness there is in the world and, you know, how exciting many of these projects are. However, I know your work is about building a peace movement, a peace movement that will make a difference in the war culture that we live in. Can you talk a little bit about World Beyond War?
Yeah, well, this is an organization that a bunch of us started in January 2014, so not that much after I started doing Talk World Radio, or at the time, Talk Nation Radio. And we started it to be a global organization, and it's become that. We have members and volunteers and activists and board members and staff members around the world. We have chapters around the world. And we started it to be an organization that would do educational work and nonviolent activist work, and we do that. We publish books, we work with schools, we do online courses and webinars, make videos and websites, and we organize campaigns to divest money from weapons dealers, to block the construction of military bases, to block trains full of weapons, to pass legislation to, you know, educate and organize the public about how we could have a world of peace, of sustainable, nonviolent, just peace, which is perfectly possible. And we intended it to go after the entire institution of war and culture of war, not a particular war or a particular weapon. You see all these campaigns to oppose a war, to be better prepared for some other war that's more important, or to block this weapon that the Pentagon doesn't even want because it doesn't even work, so we can put the money into other weapons that kill better, you know. And so we do oppose every single war and every timely, newsworthy atrocity, but we do so with the goal of educating people to join in an ongoing movement to completely abolish war making.
Yeah, and I just think your website is just so chock full of information, and folks says World Beyond War. You just have to Google it, and then you'll find all there is to find there, and then you just start. But you know, David Swanson, we're coming up on the anniversary of the Russian invasion of Ukraine, which has led to a full-scale war, which is destroying Ukraine and putting the world at risk of nuclear annihilation. And I was wondering if you could talk about what the quote-unquote peace movement is doing regarding this anniversary.
Well, not in a few sentences. There's what little peace movement there is too scattered and fragmented and is doing all kinds of different things. But one thing that some people are doing in some parts of the world is rallying and marching and demonstrating with the demand to negotiate a ceasefire and a peace agreement to stop the ever-growing risk of nuclear apocalypse, to end the war and to work on building a sustainable, peaceful society in Ukraine or whatever becomes of that part of the world. I think this is absolutely necessary. You know, in the United States, you have the U.S. government that for a year now has been working against negotiations, against peace in Ukraine, telling the Ukrainian government not to negotiate any sort of compromise agreement, and providing endless tens of billions of dollars worth of weapons. And then telling the U.S. public, oh, we have no choice about that. It's up to Ukraine. Ukraine tells us what to do, and Ukraine doesn't want to end the war. And, you know, this could go on forever or until there's a nuclear apocalypse. So we really have no choice. When both political parties in this two-party locked-down system in Washington, D.C. are for war, we need a bigger peace movement than we've had at times when one party was principally cheering for a war, not a smaller one, you know. And what is a bigger priority than preventing nuclear apocalypse? Any risk, no matter how severe you think the risk is, and the scientists seem to agree it's greater than it's ever been before, what is a greater priority? I mean, there are lots of wonderful things people can be doing, but people are going on vacations, people are packing sports arenas, people are watching movies that are 35 hours long on streaming networks. Get to a peace rally. There's one coming up in Washington, D.C. on the 19th. You can go to rageagainstwar.com and check it out.
Okay, good. I got that written down. Yeah, and I know you're part of Roots Action, and I was in a webinar last night about actions that are being taken around the country on the anniversary. And here in Chico, we're going to be on what's called the Esplanade out by our congressperson's office, Doug LaMalfa, who is a... well, I don't know what to call him, right-wing congressman that we have. And anyway, we'll be out there from 4:30 to 5:30 on the anniversary. You still there?
I'm here, yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, I think what we need to do, though, is grow this movement, because I don't think people really understand that a life could end in the pretty much a blinding flash of a few hours, and it's really not the world's leaders that are going to stop that from happening. It's us. It's just us ordinary people that have to step up.
No question about it. And I know Washington, D.C. is very, very far. Maybe San Francisco Bay Area is not quite as far. There will be a big rally there on February 19th as well. And there are events happening all over the place all the time, and we try to collect and promote them at worldbeyondwar.org/events. But this is the greatest risk of nuclear apocalypse right now, when we have the greatest need we've ever had before for the world's nations to cooperate and collaborate on other crises, including the environmental crisis that is so exacerbated by war making and war preparations. So, you know, we had big rallies 40 years ago, lots of success, you know, dismantled most of the nuclear weapons, but left enough nuclear weapons to destroy all life on Earth many times over. And then we announced that the Cold War was over, but how was it over? What was over about it? We actually need those massive rallies and demonstrations more now than 40 years ago.
Yeah. And one of the things about your work is I find new things. And one of the things at the end of Talk World Radio is there's something called peacealmanac.org. And so I look that up, and today just happens to be February 3rd on this day in 1973. 4 decades of armed conflict in Vietnam officially ended when a ceasefire agreement signed in Paris the previous month came into effect. So, there was an estimated 3.8 million violent war deaths resulting from what the Vietnamese called the American War. About two-thirds of the people that died were civilians. In the United States, there were 58,000 killed and innumerable numbers of people wounded and later died from suicide and self-harm. And the country spent over $168 billion in Vietnam. Do you care to comment about this very significant day in history?
Any day that's the ending of a war should be a global holiday and a national holiday. And it's a shame that we have to educate people using our book, The Peace Almanac, peacealmanac.org, the website, to tell people about such dates when, you know, we have war monuments and celebrations of war and national anthems and flags, you know, coming out our ears. We have to know about how to celebrate and memorialize the ending of wars and the avoidance of wars. We have a holiday every day if we recorded all the times we've prevented a war that nobody's heard of because it didn't happen. And, you know, this is the sort of culture we need rather than the one we've got where we celebrate militarism and violence, and it comes back and blows back and trickles down, creating an incredibly violent society here in the United States out of war making abroad that is supposed to be somehow protecting the United States.
Yeah. And, you know, I just want to remind our listeners that I'm talking to David Swanson here on the Peace and Justice Program, and he has syndicated a show called Talk World Radio, which preceded this segment of the Peace and Justice Program. Talk World Radio is going to be on every Friday at 11:30, and it's for half an hour. And David Swanson, I was wondering if you could promote what your next show is about, because I thought that Nikolai Petro was really interesting, but I had a caller that said, where is the Peace and Justice Program? So we want to have people start really looking forward to your show and your work, because I think you lead us into what World Beyond War is doing, and I think this is a very important connection, and I hope it will be very collegial too, because we need the people that you are able to interview, because you actually know more people.
I know what my next two shows are going to be because I've recorded them. One is going to be with Dave Lindorf, who is a wonderful journalist and author, and who's written a book that's been made into a film. The book's coming out in the fall, and the film is in the film festivals now, getting wildly positive reviews, and it's called Spy for No Country, Ted Hall, the teenage atomic spy who saved the world. This is about a 15-year-old kid taken out of Harvard down to New Mexico to help invent the nuclear bomb, who, during World War II, when he believed the Soviet Union was an ally, and he had seen plans that the U.S. government was developing for dropping hundreds of nuclear weapons on the Soviet Union before it could develop the nuclear weapon, plans, you know, worse than Hitler's, and who, rightly or wrongly, I'm not sure myself, decided that he would give U.S. nuclear bomb plans to the Soviets. As did a number of other people, some of whom were very famously prosecuted, and we've heard their names, the Rosenbergs and so forth. But this guy, Ted, had a brother who was one of the top rocket scientists for the United States, and the U.S. government wanted his work so bad they didn't touch his brother. The very interesting story that I think nobody knows, I'm not sure what to think about it, but this is, you know, something to know about and consider. What would you have done? The next week I'm having on a woman named Sena, let me make sure I say her name correctly, Sena Jimjimo, who is from Ethiopia, in particular from the region called Oromia. And the Oromo people have long been the majority in Ethiopia, but discriminated against, and they're suffering horrible violence. And we're working on a campaign to lobby international bodies and the U.S. and other governments to help and to possibly send a fact-finding mission over there. It's the history and the current state of affairs in a country whose president has won the Nobel Peace Prize. But if you don't know how little that means living in the United States, we've got a lot of other shows you should go and listen to.
Yeah, and those archives are right there. And so folks can find that at talkworldradio.org if you want to go back into David Swanson's archives. We just have 2 minutes left, and I want you to forward promote whatever you think is the most important for the listeners here in the northern Sacramento Valley, where KZFR is located on occupied Mechoopda land, I might also say. Go ahead.
Well, I did see a list recently where Sacramento won first place as the most militarized police of any U.S. city, and I don't know how accurate that is, but it must be somewhere near the top to win such a prestigious ranking. One of the campaigns World Beyond War works on is demilitarizing police, and I would encourage people to go to worldbeyondwar.org and get involved in that effort. And if you go to davidswanson.org, you can find Talk World Radio. You can find my books, which, of course, can go much more in-depth than any radio shows. And get in touch with me and suggest guests and topics, and I will do my best to cover them.
Yeah, it's wonderful what you're doing. I really appreciate you. And I want to thank you for being on the Peace and Justice program today, and I look forward to the shows that I get to listen to in the future and to your guests in the next few weeks. And I just wanted to say that we jump around a lot in the peace movement because there's so much to cover and it's been so uncovered. It's not in our history books. It's not, you know, we don't get world news on regular radio. And so shows like yours and mine fill a gap that is so important, and we could be doing this every day of the week 24/7. So thank you, David Swanson. I really appreciate you.
Same to you. Thank you.
All right. Bye. All right, so folks, stay with me here. We're going to have another really good segment. I wanted to do a couple of announcements here. There are a number of things happening tomorrow. My guest is going to be talking about one of them, but there's also a seed and science swap at Trinity Methodist Church at 283 East 5th Street tomorrow from 12 to 2, and it's part of a February 2023 Let's Grow month-long celebration of all things plants, and having this be a livable planet and having food security are really important, so that's why I think it's important. And then you can pop over to the Black History Month pop-up at the Stonewall parking lot at Orient and 6th Street. That's from 10 to 2, so during that same time. And then local black vendors, chefs, artists, performers, and speakers will be there and will be learning and supporting, enjoying, growing, celebrating, and being together. So hope you can make that also. And then I'm going to get my next guest in here a few minutes early so that we can have a longer talk. Just 1 second, I'm going to give you, okay, something else I wanted to say is it is Black History Month, and I was able to watch American Masters, Marian Anderson, The Whole World in Her Hands. I took the first recording that I could find from 1923, which is her singing Deep River, which is spiritual, and she was the first recording artist to ever record with RCA Victor. She recorded this song in 1924 on RCA Victor, but Anderson's career was propelled by her talent. She was incredible. She was also steered by the limits imposed on her by racism and segregation. She was a gifted pioneer whose strength was rooted in family and community. She overcame humiliation, prejudice, and financial hardship to become a voice for justice, an internationally renowned master of her craft, and the first African-American to sing a leading role at the Metropolitan Opera in 1955. She was the Jackie Robinson of opera, actually. She balanced her public triumph with her personal struggles and her resilience. So that's on PBS now, and you can watch this amazing show about this incredible woman who was in that window of seismic cultural change and very much a part of it and very much a mover and shaker of it. So let's see if I can get Deep River on here. 1 sec. It should be coming up here. Sorry, not hearing anything. Oh, that's too bad. So, I'm not sure why this isn't. Try it again. Too bad. All right, so much for that. But anyway, it is on PBS, and I hope that you will listen to that. I'm going to go back to that David Rovick song that we were listening to earlier and get my next guest into the studio. Stay tuned.
2, 3, 4. First you have to have a problem. That part isn't hard. The second step is everybody realizing they're like you. They're holding the same card. Step 3 is finding there's a tactic when everyone believes it could be true. That if all the people work collectively, there just might be something we can do and everything can change. So quick. Businessmen and TV sets will try hard to make sure it isn't so. You don't have a problem. If you do, it's not the same problem. And if it is, well, there's just nowhere you can go. But that many times, the history is rich, though we easily forget how a meme can take hold and grab you, how it can spread out like a net, and everything can change. So
join KZFR for an intimate evening with outspoken political singer-songwriter David Rovitz on Wednesday, February 8th at the KZFR Studios in downtown Chico.
I grew up on this mountain, came back here to dwell. Maybe have a family, plant some corn and dig a well. I grew up on this mountain, it's in my very soul. So when the company moved next door, started digging for the coal.
David Rovix is an American indie singer-songwriter and the host of This Week with David Rovix. David has an extensive discography of work and has been featured on Democracy Now! And the BBC. Doors open at 6 p.m. Show starts at 7. Tickets are $20. Tickets and information can be found at kzfr.org/DavidRovics.
Hey, people in Chico, I'm David Rovics.
I'm Kamala Emanuel.
And we are currently in Hawaii making a recording. Very soon, we'll be in California doing a tour, and we're going to be playing in downtown Chico at the studio of KZFR Community Radio on Wednesday, February 8th, 7 p.m. If you want to get tickets to the show in advance, you can get them at kzfr.org/DavidRovics.
All right, and I'm really happy that he is coming. I think I already said that 100 times, so stop saying it right now, because I have somebody special in the studio, and I want to give him my full attention and honoring. And I want you to say your own name this time, because I want to get it right, and I've gotten it wrong already plenty of times.
No problem. Hello, everybody. My name is Juan Araujo Sarinana.
And you are a Chico resident now for 17 years. Mm-hmm. You're a Chico State alumni and a lecturer in biology for 10 years now. And I looked up what you teach, and my God, it's really pretty amazing that you, what you teach is anatomy, physiology, cellular and molecular biology, and cell biology. So,
yes.
not just another pretty face.
Just some light classes, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, so you've been involved in organizing, too, mutual aid work in town for under 3 years now, and you were very important during the COVID epidemic, and I really thank you for your work. And now you called it Democratic Socialists of America, DSA, and now it's called NorCal Resist. We want to talk about that because you formed that in October. And you say that NorCal Resist is an organization that was established in response to the Trump administration ramping up ICE deportations.
Correct.
And they've posted bail for hundreds of ICE detainees and reunited them with their families. In addition to immigration defense work, NorCal Resist hosts brake-light clinics, basic needs, item distribution, community fix-it, workshops, and more. And so... I know you have an event coming up, so why don't we start with the event and work backwards?
Yeah. So tomorrow at the Food Max parking lot right on MLK Parkway, we will be hosting a brake light clinic and community table. So the basics of it is if you have a tail light, brake light, even headlight, any light on your car that's out, we will fix it for you. If we have the bulb for it, we'll have a crew of volunteers that can fix that right up for you.
So why is this part of justice work? Why would you offer this clinic?
So the reason why we fix brake lights is to reduce interactions between members of our community and police. Routine traffic stops are the most common encounter with police officers that people face, and even common routine traffic stops like the aforementioned headlights and brake lights have led to people being murdered by the police, such as the case of Sandra Bland, Philando Castile, Dante Wright, all routine traffic stops that were escalated by police to the point where a person was murdered.
Right. And this is the sad truth of things, that these are life-saving events that you do.
Correct.
These clinics.
Yeah, particularly for people of color, of course. We face a disproportionate amount of police brutality, and so that's why we do what we do. We just want to avoid people getting stopped, and at the worst case, something fatal may happen. But even if it doesn't escalate to that point, people's lives can face like severe snags by a ticket that can snowball into losing your car. Now you can't get to work. Now you can't pay your rent. Now you don't have a place to live. So we think that it's a very simple and just very effective way to help protect people in our community.
Right, and warrants, too. Warrants that people can't pay and that people end up in jail.
Exactly.
I mean, when you go to these jails, you find out that it's mostly poor people who couldn't pay fines.
Exactly. Yeah.
So it's a bad... It's a bad cascade, and it's, you're stopping it before it starts.
We're trying to, yes.
Yes.
Hoping to stop it.
So, along with that, you're going to be tabling. What kind of things will you be doing at your tables?
Yeah, so we're going to have a community table where we're going to be providing a lot of COVID information for, like, vaccination clinics. We're going to have masks. We're going to have COVID tests that people can take that are free for you to take home. We're also going to have basic need items like shelf stable grocery items. We're going to have diapers, just household supplies, baby wipes, all free, all, you know, no questions asked. You don't need to prove any sort of income for why you need these items. Just if we have something that you need, you can have it. And that's also part of, you know, protecting our community, making sure that everybody has access to basic needs and nobody goes without.
Yeah. And I know this has been an important work, a part of your work, Juan. You've been part of mutual aid now for a while. You've seen kind of the situation for the poorest of the poor in Chico,
correct,
the unhoused. And you know that you can't just pull money out of trees to do this stuff. How are you guys getting by? What do you need from the community?
So we primarily work on donations from people in our community. We do have a fundraiser, like an ongoing fundraiser on DonorBox. I don't have like an easy link. It's like a really long like link that I. But if you find us on Instagram, just look us up as NorCal Resist Chico. In our bio, there's a link tree that'll take you right to where you can find our DonorBox fundraiser. And what we hope that people will do is that they'll sign up to be a monthly supporter and just, you know, pitch us $5, $10, $15 every month. We're currently operating with about $300 or so monthly dollars. But there's also like one-time donations that people give us. And we primarily, like when we have to purchase stuff, that's where the money comes from. Mm-hmm. We also accept donations. So we regularly go out and distribute hygiene items. We bring out coffee. We bring out any food that we're able to. We do distributions every week on Tuesdays. Now that the ice rink is gone, we are back to doing Tuesday at the Plaza at 5:30.
Good.
We do this in collaboration with our friends from Chico Red Meals, who are another group that focuses mainly on providing hot food for folks that are unhoused. So if you ever wanted to bring anything down to the Plaza Tuesdays at 5:30, we're always there, and we're always looking for good used clothes. We're looking for hygiene items. We're looking for shelf-stable food, things that people that are unhoused are going to be able to, you know, easily eat.
Yeah.
You know, people that may not have a stove, of course. And, of course, money always helps. Money always helps. If you want to sign up to be a monthly donor, that would be really, really amazing. And that's what will help us keep doing what we're doing.
So if we could go back a little, I think people who are activists in the community may not understand why you changed from DSA to Chico NorCal Resist. Can you tell us a little bit about the politics?
Sure. I mean, I can talk a little bit about that. I don't really want to speak for, like, everyone. You know,
sure.
I can say what, like, me personally, I'm speaking just for myself. You know, a lot of us joined the DSA, Democratic Socialists of America, you know, after Bernie Sanders running. And everybody was really hopeful that this was, you know, like a good organization to join. And I think for a while it was. I just feel like, personally, like Democratic Socialists, like that group in particular, doesn't really represent my ideology, like who, what I believe in. They are very focused on like electoral politics, and me personally, I do not want to focus on electoral politics. I personally don't think that that is how we are going to save our community and save ourselves from capitalism. I think that direct community action and working to create the world that we want to live in is how we save ourselves from capitalism. Politicians aren't going to save us, and I just don't feel like our efforts as a group were going to go that way. And that's what DSA wanted us to do, and we just decided to not do that. And we all kind of just collectively quit DSA, those of us that were like actively running the chapter. And mostly people that were in the mutual aid working group of DSA, we all decided to go off and join up with No Care Resist, who are more about the direct community action. They have a lot of great programs that we are hoping to replicate here as much as we can. We're starting with the Break Light Clinics. We're keeping the distributions to unhoused folks going. We're looking to add more of that. So if anybody out there is interested in being a part of that, hit us up on Instagram or just email us at chico@norcalresist.org. Either way, we can... somebody will reply to you and get you plugged in into the work that we are doing.
Okay, this is good. Now, NorCal Resist, I've known about for years. I've interviewed folks from there before because they're doing critical work with asylum seekers and wherever they're from, whether they're from Mexico or Central America or they're from Afghanistan.
Yes.
And they go to court appearances with people, they house people, they assist people in every way possible. And so can you tell us about them and that connection and who they are more?
Yeah, sure. So, I mean, you basically like covered it. They are a group that focuses heavily on immigration defense. And we linked up with them like while we were still mutually working group with DSA. They came up and we co-hosted Break Light Clinics. I think we did three or so Break Light Clinics when we were still DSA, like in collaboration with No Care Resist. You know, they're super rad. We hit it off right away. It really seemed like our groups like jived together. So when we approached them to maybe, you know, have them take us on as a Chico branch, they said absolutely. And so, like you said, their work focuses heavily on asylum seekers. They house asylum seekers. They get them places to live. They post bond for people that are detained by ICE. They are actually part of the National Bail Fund Network. So they have they're pretty legit in the world of, you know, immigration defense and bail funds. They help to plan actions down in Sacramento. They help to bail protesters when they are arrested by cops at actions. They hold all kinds of workshops. They do asylum clinics where they help families seeking asylums fill out their paperwork. They do a pro se clinics where they help people to figure out their legal defense, like how to represent themselves against the court just on their own, by themselves, without needing to pay for an expensive lawyer. Geez, what else? They put on all kinds of workshops. Like, I got to go down to Sacramento, actually, towards the end of last year to do a medic certification of advanced first aid and advanced CPR. And this is something that they helped put on, that NorCal Resist helped put on, so that people can be trained in these skills for when there are actions, protests, there are people that are trained in providing first aid, because sometimes, as we know, first responders, law enforcement, they're not going to provide that. We have to provide that for ourselves. They are actually going to probably work against street medics who are trying to just help people, actively prevent them from doing so. So really, really, really important services that they are putting on. And again, we're just happy to be a part of their organization, and we're hoping to do as much as we can, replicate as much as we can up here.
Yeah. You know, you were talking about the table that you're going to have at your event, and let's see, hang on. Just wanted to say that I am in the studio today on the Peace and Justice program with Juan Aranjo Serranana.
Got it.
Okay. And who I have interviewed before and been very bad about pronouncing his name, and I'm sorry. I wanted to, again, about your action that you're doing with the Food Max parking lot, 12 to 3 tomorrow.
Yes.
You're also going to be having the COVID tests, and I don't know if people really realize that we won't be able to get free COVID tests after May anymore, and everything
That's
is
right.
going to go up, and people who don't have insurance or are underinsured will not have access to COVID testing. And so, you know, that's another reason to kind of stock up now, because this is not going away, and it's very short-sighted of the government,
yes.
how they're handling this. Can you talk about that at all?
I can. So we will be providing free COVID tests at our community table tomorrow, as well as much information as we can about COVID and about where people can get vaccinated, where there are clinics. So we right now, you know, earlier you were talking, you were asking about how we're able to fund what we do. One of the nice things about being part of North Carolina Resist is that they are a nonprofit. They have 501c3 status. So we were given a grant by United Way of Northern California to do COVID outreach. So at least for the foreseeable future, we're going to be able to distribute COVID tests and PPE, like masks, at our distribution. So, you know, we have so far focused on doing distributions to people that are unhoused. I would love to grow our capacity and make our distributions more community-wide for everyone, anyone. You know, people on the street aren't the only ones that are struggling to make ends meet. House people need that extra help as well. But we will be able to provide free COVID tests, at least for the foreseeable future. At some point, we may not be able to, but yeah, we are able to keep that going. So if you are needing COVID tests, we probably have some. Send us a message.
Yeah. You know, Juan, you organized it wasn't about racial justice, but a Say Their Names about unhoused people who had died in 2022.
Yes.
And that was a very sad occasion, and it was just, it's tragic, and I went last year, and it was tragic. And I recently, the city of Chico this last week, evicted people, swept them out of Tikert Ponds where they weren't really harming anything. That is not a sensitive wildlife area. It's just a neglected city swamp. And I wanted to get your response about the city policies toward unhoused people.
Yeah, it's just really... it's just really sad that the city of Chico continues to double down on sweeping encampments. Like you mentioned, Tikert Ponds is not some protected area. Tikert Ponds exists because some developer a while ago messed up and flooded that area. It is not some critical nature preserve like some people make it out to be. I'm already seeing comments on Facebook and things like, the city is out there promoting that we've cleared Tikert Ponds and we removed such and such amounts of waste. And people in the comments are like, oh, it looks beautiful again. And it's literally a it was filled by a developer messing up. Like, it, and it's named after that, that developer. Tiger Pons was flooded by the Tiger Group. So, you know, people acting like if it was some, it's a, some sort of nature preserve is just really, really funny. But it's really, again, it's deplorable that the city continues to double down on sweeps. Sweeps cost the city more money. They don't really solve homelessness. All that is being done is that people are being shuffled around from one place to the other. You know, people that had otherwise settled somewhere are now being pushed into neighborhoods, for example. People complain about unhoused folks being in the streets, in their neighborhood, when they finally settle somewhere where there really isn't no one else going in there. They want to kick them out of that place as well. And the what it really comes down to is that unhoused people are not allowed to exist anywhere. And it really, again, it really boils down to under capitalism, you are not allowed to exist anywhere for free. You have to pay your dues or whatever to just exist. And they've really, really made it so that nobody can just find somewhere that they can settle and just be.
Right. And in the meantime, people will be dying because it's cold out, it's wet out, and they have lost their shelter, and they are, did not get into the pallet shelter. They, you know, they are just spread, like you said, into neighborhoods or wherever they end up going. So I hope all of our listeners will let the city council and the newspapers and wherever you can raise your voices for justice for the unhoused people of this community and to assist the groups that are providing shelter, like Safe Space Chat, and then food, Chico Friends on the Street, NorCal Resist,
Chico Red Meals.
Red Meals. And then also there's a new group in South Chico, I think.
Oh, yes, the center.
Yeah, mention that, can you?
Sure, sure. So there's, it's the South Chico Community Assistance Center. They're friends of ours. They are over on 18th and Park. That little little house on the corner of 18th and Park. They're doing food pantry distributions twice a month on the second and the fourth week, Saturday, second and fourth Saturday of the month. You can go in there and get basic household items, pantry items. And their whole deal is helping get people through the month. Like helping people make it through the month. They're a great, great resource. We, we've worked with them. They provided our, a space for us to last month do our homeless kit packing event.
I saw that,
which
it was amazing.
A great success. Yeah, yes. we had over 40 people come volunteer. We had a goal of packing 100 kits. And we did it in probably not even an hour and a half total time. It was really, really fun. And we hope to do it again. And by the way, those kits have been distributed. Some have been distributed to folks out on the street. We are going to provide the, like 50 of them are going to go towards Safe Space for end of season. Guests leaving Safe Space will be given one of those kits.
Good.
And that contains gloves, beanie, it has hand warmers, basic hygiene items, basic first aid items, COVID tests, COVID information, and probably other things that I'm not remembering off the top of my head.
Food too, I think. Yeah, that was amazing. There were so many volunteers there, and it's wonderful to see the community step up. So it's just a matter of getting the word out. And again, we're kind of at the end of our time, but I want you to again announce what you're doing and how people can help and get involved.
So tomorrow we're having a brake light clinic at the Food Max parking lot. from 12 to 3. If you want to, if you're curious about NorCal Resist and what we do and you want to meet us, come out, just hang out with us if you want. You don't have to participate in the fixing of the brake lights, but just hanging out is good. Or if you want to come out to our Tuesday distribution at the plaza, we're there at 5:30 p.m. Come hang out, meet us, talk to us about how you can get plugged in to the work that we're doing and how you can help to expand the work that we are doing.
Yeah. Can you just wait about... After we're done now, can you just wait a minute so I can give you a little cash?
Oh, sure thing. Wow, thank you. Thank
All right,
you.
Just hang with me for a minute. All right, folks, I wanted to make one more announcement, and I want to thank Juan Araujo. Will you just say your name again, please?
Juan Araujo Sarinana.
And I apologize.
All good.
I hear Dorothy. Amy Goodman, every morning, pronouncing names, and she does such a beautiful job of it, and I'm just not gifted that way. My mouth does not work. So, anyway, I apologize, guests and listeners. I want to announce this because it's important. It is Chico's 42nd annual celebration of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. and the kickoff of Black History Month. It will be this Sunday, 1 to 4 at the Chico State Bell Memorial Union Auditorium at 400 West 1st Street in Chico. And this is a traditional celebration of Dr. King, and that moved from his birthday to February 5th in order to align with Chico State and Butte College students, because they were kind of left out. That's the month when students are mostly gone. So this is pretty exciting. This is going to be a free family event. There will be refreshments. The theme is victory and unity. And Dr. King said, I think you may know, that we must all learn to live together as brothers and sisters, or will we all perish together as fools? So this is a time to come together, and the event starts at the Wildcat Plaza, which is in front of the BMU, and there'll be a rally there. If it's not raining, I'm not sure what will happen if it rains, but it's supposed to start at 1. There's so many wonderful performers coming up at the part that starts at 1, so I hope it doesn't rain. But then the BMU program starts at 2 with a Majubda Land acknowledgement, and then there will be step dancing, music, uplifting spoken word, and a keynote speaker who is Dr. Hardy Brown, chair of the Black Voice Foundation, and that is an amazing, amazing person. So I hope that you will be able to come to this, so I just thank our community for so much really worthwhile activities, and I want you to stay tuned for Playing Dead, which is coming right up, and I want to thank our underwriters. Quicksilver Courier Service, established in 2010, Quicksilver Courier Service has the flexibility to provide a broad range of delivery services for private individuals, as well as for legal, medical, and business professionals. Visit ChicoCourier.com for quality 24/7 delivery service. And by DK Web Design, providing digital marketing services to improve your business's online presence, including websites, social media management, and search engine optimization. In 2012, owner Daniel Vogel started DK as a way to give back to the community by helping other organizations reach their full potential. Details to maximize your web presence at dkwebdesign.com and at 530-809-4989. It's been my pleasure to be with you today. I really appreciate all my guests and you, the listeners, and all my co-hosts and KZFR for letting us have this venue. So we're going to go to the community calendar now. Stay tuned for Playing Dead and enjoy your Friday. Here you go. Peace.
It's time for the KZFR 90.1 FM community calendar with me, Mark Baker. Today, the Community Action Agency of Butte County North State Food Bank will hold a County Food Expansion Program distribution event for Megalia at the Megalia Pines Baptist Church, located at 14098 Skyway in Megalia. The distribution begins at 10 a.m. and goes until noon or until supplies run out. The effort is conducted at no cost to those attending. Food is made possible by funding from the state and county. Anyone attending should be in a vehicle and follow the traffic flow guides. Participants are requested to please remain in their vehicles. Boxes weighing between 12 and 17 pounds will be placed by volunteers into vehicles attending. The food boxes include healthy, shelf-stable, and perishable foods depending on seasonal availability. On Saturday and Sunday will be a rummage sale sponsored by the Catholic Ladies Relief Society from 8 a.m. to 2 p.m. in the Fitzgerald Hall at St. Thomas the Apostle Catholic Church in Oroville. St. Thomas the Apostle Catholic Church is located at 1330 Bird Street in Oroville. And on Sunday will be Victory in Unity, Chico's 42nd annual celebration of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. and the kickoff to Black History Month from 1 to 4 p.m. at the Chico State Bell Memorial Union Auditorium. Beginning in the Wildcat Plaza in front of the BMU Auditorium, there will be a live